Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About Christianity, my favorite part of the week, and I know it's Keith's favorite part of the week. I do want to mention before we even start, before even Keith gets to speak, we've got a side-by-side for sale. It's on Facebook. If you're looking for a nice side-by-side, it's a, what is it? It's a, why can't I think of this?
Why am I struggling with this?
It's actually not mine. It's Herman's, but, you know. It's my grandfather's.
So you're selling this for Herman?
Yes. Don't have a clue what it is, really.
Okay. So let me get this straight. You are trying to sell a side-by-side for the car salesman?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I get a cut if I sell it.
So the car salesman is going to pay you commission for selling something for him?
Yes. That's how that works.
Okay.
That's how it works. But seriously, if you're interested in side-by-side, it's brand new, 2009-ish. It's got less than 100 miles on it. He never used it. It just sat behind his house. It's in perfect condition. Leather seating.
I've ridden in
You've it ridden it. It's a nice one.
I have. Yes. It's yes. A nice one. Herman and I went like way back. I'm pretty sure we rode that thing like all the way back into Martin County.
Telling you, it's a nice one. It's got leather seating. The only thing about it is the speedometer needs, I think it's some sort of wire, some sort of plug or something. It's gone bad, but that's the only problem with it is the speedometer. It's a nice one.
It's nice. It is. It's nice. Yeah, I can attest to that.
Get a hold of it.
If you need a side-by-side, don't go to Herman. Go to Zach.
Come to Zach. We'll talk.
So, anyway. Yeah. So, hey, if you need a side-by-side, now you know where to go. So, yes, welcome to the actual program and not the swap shop.
I was going to say, it sounds like the swap shop. That's what we sound like. We sound like the swap shop.
Yeah, you got any lawnmowers?
No, but I got a couple kittens I'm trying to get rid of.
I got firewood for sale. If you can call me.
I went to Moorhead. I used to commute to Moorhead every morning, and I would listen to it on the way there because there wasn't anything else on the radio. And every single time, there was this woman. She was selling the same thing. She sold it. I'm talking an entire year, Keith. She was trying to sell this. Could not sell it. It was a dresser and drawer. Is what it was, a dresser and drawers and stuff like that. She couldn't sell it. She could not sell it, but she kept it on there a year. And every single morning, she'd call in and say, I've got that dresser for sale still. I was like, that's dedication. That is dedication.
Well, what I was listening one morning, and this one cracked me up, because I think it was like a house that they were trying to sell. To sell a house. And it was like, caller, you're on the air. I've got a house for sale and call me, and then hung up.
What's your number?
I'm like, man, I want that, you know, but
the suspense. He leaves you with a little suspense. You're like, what kind of house is it?
Where is it?
Where's the house? So you got a lot of suspense there, man.
And then didn't even leave the number. You know, that was the funny part. It was just, I've got a house for sale. Call me. Click.
It cracks me up when they get on there and they've got their radios on, too. And the guy that hosts it, he's like, you need to turn your radios down. You got to turn your radio down so you can hear yourself. You can't hear yourself. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff.
That's the best entertainment of the day right there. But, we're working on the Facebook Live thing.
Yeah. We want to get it to where it's seamless so we don't have any bumps. And that may take another week or two.
And we're working on the Facebook Live thing, and we are planning. Well, here's the thing about it. As our schedules change, when we do the recording and therefore when we're live on Facebook may change. But at this point in time, we're planning on 10:30 Central. Is that what time it is?
Yeah.
It's 10:30 Central. So it's 11:30 your time on Wednesday mornings is what we're shooting for. for now.
Right.
Because, you know, Zach, your schedule is going to change as your college career progresses.
I'm a cottage kid.
So
I'm astute. I've got leather bound books and rich mahogany all around me.
There you go. Yeah. So
what's going on in Saxton this week?
It's raining. That's what it is.
A lot of rain. What'd you think about the Super Bowl?
I don't know. The Super Bowl. I saw this meme yesterday or day before, something like that. And I'm gonna see if I can find it. I could find it and like pull it up and actually put it on the screen, but
right.
You know, I'm not gonna do that. But it was just pretty funny. I gotta scroll here. Scrolling. Wow.
I thought everybody yesterday. Was so mad about it. They were so upset about the game. And I don't know why.
So
here's the Democrats found 11 extra points for the Rams in Broward County.
So, you know, as far as games went, I mean, it was, to me, I thought it was a pretty good game. I mean,
too. I don't know why people.
I know a lot of people like these games where, you know, it's a shootout there is no defense, and those are exciting games. They really are. But to me, I like those defensive. You know, it's like baseball. I used to watch baseball, and you know, you see these games where there's a pitching duel, and the game ends 1-0 in the 14th inning or whatever. You know, and I used to think, man, that is so boring. But then, you know, when you look at the good solid defense and the good pitching that goes with it, you know, I like those.
Welcome to the podcast where our phones ring in the middle and we answer them. No,
I did not answer. I was declining it.
But I love a good defensive battle. I don't know what it is, but everybody was complaining. I guess they want it to be like 55-50, I guess. But I liked how it was. I mean, the game plan that the Patriots put into play defensively was masterful. I mean, it was beautiful. And if you respect, you know, if you respect that kind of beauty in sports, then you would have loved that game because it was awesome. They switched up their defenses, hadn't ran that defense all year long, and they come out in a cover four and run it and win the Super Bowl. And hold a team that averaged 30 points. It was awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Tom Brady got his sixth ring.
I didn't get to watch it until like the second half. Because of church was over and getting home, and then we had some people over and we ate Lomo.
Lomo.
Yes, we had Lomo Saltado.
I'll be honest with you. I like Lomo. Lomo was good. I mean, super good. But there was another dish that we ate at Norma Chacon's house and Ruben Chacon, and I cannot remember what it was for the life of me, but it was good too. It had some sort of like red sauce. And the chicken was down in the red sauce, and it had the rice and all that stuff. But Lomo was delicious. I mean, it was fantastic. They know how to cook down there. They do.
Oh, they do. They do. We've got like lots of rain right now. This warm front is sitting on top of us, and we got like 2 inches of rain this morning. And I ended up. You know, I saw that my gutters were not working properly, and so
you're playing out your gutters.
I took my ladder up there and climbed up there and unclogged the downspout.
If you can picture Keith outside of his house with a ladder in the middle of a monsoon cleaning out his gutters, that's what he was doing this morning.
I did wait till it quit lightning. But,
at least you waited until it quit lightning. You didn't want to get struck.
But it was just so satisfying, though, to hear, you know, when I unclogged the downspout and there were still some acorns that were, you know, washing down there, and to hear them clunk, 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 you know, going down the downspout. So, you know, I've got to give a shout out here. Thank you to Chris Jordan from Avon Park for emailing and rubbing it in that the temperature is in the 80s down there.
Thanks, Chris. That's just, appreciate it.
That was just wrong.
That's wrong on all kinds of levels. It was 14 degrees here in Paintsville. Keith, what degree did it get down to there? Did it get down below 10?
Somewhere in there. No, we never got below 10.
But I don't think we got below 10 either, but it felt like it.
Yeah, last Wednesday was a very, very cold day. And
Chris Jordan's just baking in the sun in Florida.
Yeah.
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 But, you know, it's...
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Somebody this morning was complaining about the weather here, and I'm like, it's February. What do you expect? Right. You know. Right.
And that's like Lakeside Church of Christ down there where John and Caleb Colley is. They do their sermon intros, and they always do them outside. And I'm sitting there thinking, it must be nice to be able to do them outside in Jersey inside because it's cold, rainy, and snowing.
Yeah, here. I love doing mine outside, but I've had to do it inside.
Can't do it.
Although, if I were to be able this afternoon to record one, if it wasn't, of course, pouring down rain, it's warm enough today that I could do it. But
tomorrow it's supposed to be 76, so I thought about doing it there.
Whoa.
76 and cloudy. A slight chance of rain, but.
Wow. 76. That's crazy.
That is wild.
We're not supposed to get that warm. We're only supposed to get up like 66, and then the temperature is supposed to crash tomorrow. But
spring's right around the corner, Keith. It's right
around the corner. Yeah, it's that time of year.
It feels like yesterday when I was saying fall's right around the corner, but spring's right around the corner.
And you are making plans. You're hoping to be able to move back to Pavilion 4, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Soon as I can possibly move. But it's going to take a little bit, I think, because of the weird weather. It's supposed to be 76 tomorrow here, but then we go back down to the 40s. So I'll probably have to wait. It'll probably be about March until late March that I'll be able to move back out there on a consistent basis.
I think you better plan for later than that. Probably the end of April. But
I don't know. It's you know how the weather is here. And late March,
it's up
early
down.
March, it's snowing. So, late March, it's in the 60s. So it's just, I don't know. Welcome to Kentucky. Welcome to Kentucky.
So what are you preaching on this Sunday?
Well, I'm going to continue my sermon series that I've been doing. Started it last week. It's called A Question and Answer with God. It's in the Sunday morning. The first question we asked was, why do bad things happen to good people? And that's such a good question. It's so deep, though. You can't even cover it in one sermon. That's the type of question you could do an entire series on. But it's an important question. I think it was a good question for our congregation because, as you know, we have a lot of people that struggle health-wise. We have a whole slew of people that struggle health-wise and things of that sort. This week, we're going to continue that. We're going to ask the question, why does a loving God send people to hell? Why does a loving God send people to hell? And the evening service, we're going to talk about worry. That's an interesting. I'm kind of excited about that one because not many people preach about worry. Last week we talked about biblical forgiveness, but this week worry, and not many people preach about worry. Not many people talk about worry because
you look concerned about it.
Well, we all do it. We all worry, and I'm afraid that I'm going to say something. People will be like, you're going to get mad at me, but. We all worry. It's something we all do, but we never talk about it because we all do it. But it's an important sermon that we need. It's an important topic that you need to preach on and things of that sort. So that's mine. What's yours, Keith? What's yours?
I am in the book of Galatians right now. And so we're going to talk about the last two verses of chapter 2 and talk about Paul essentially making the statement, I'm not going to set aside the grace of God, there in verse 21 of chapter 2. And that'll be on Sunday morning. And then on Sunday evening, we're going to the book of 2 Kings, and we're going to talk about Ben-Hadad and the siege of Samaria. And so
sounds like some good ones.
Well, you know, that was a long time ago, but we're going to try to bring it into today. So
you will be.
I think they're going to be good ones. I think they're going to be good ones. And
every once in a while you preach that sermon where you get the jitters and you're like, this is going to be a real good one. I feel good about this one.
And those are usually the ones that everybody, you know, you're excited about it. You think it's a really good sermon. Everybody else is like,
that's okay. That's exactly. And then the ones that you think you're like, I'm not sure about this one. I don't know if anybody's going to like it. Everybody's like, oh, that was a good one. That was a good one. I needed to hear that. I'm thinking, really? That one of all? But
Ones. That's the way it goes. And I don't know how many times I've said that what comes out of my mouth isn't always what other people hear.
This is true.
Everybody, and that's just the way that it is.
Everybody gets something different.
Speaking, however, of things that come out of our mouths, let's actually talk about the topic that we've got lined up today. By the way, if you are keeping score, for lack of a better term, this is season 2, episode 31, and track 76 number 76 overall. Yes.
By our calculations, we will be on episode 100 on the date of July 24th. That is when we should hit episode 100, unless we have setbacks or something of that sort. That should be the day that we hit it.
Yeah. Which, you know, since we'll actually start season 3, the 1st of June, you know, we've missed a week or two here and there. But we've not done that bad, I don't think.
No, we've kept it pretty consistent. Peru messes up, but it always does. Every year it does. You always end up a week behind when Peru hits.
Yeah, and then this past summer with all the traveling that I had to do, we ended up missing some. It just wasn't possible to get it together. But, you know, it's all good. So, anyway, Matthew chapter 7. If you've got your Bibles and you want to, honestly, though, if you're listening to a podcast, you probably don't have your Bible handy. You're probably, you know, out doing something else, but
maybe you have the Bible on the phone.
We're happy to read these things for you. But Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7,
Jesus speaking.
And Jesus says, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So.
Now that first word in verse 7, ask. That's the focus word of the day, right, Keith? That's the word we want to focus on today.
Yes. And, you know, we, and of course, it's not my intention to go all grammar this morning, but
it's never his intention, but oftentimes he does.
Yeah, it happens. But anyway, by the way, I have picked up again my studies of Spanish. I'm finally at a point schedule wise where I can work that in a little bit every day. Right. And I found a program that is helping me and I'm actually learning things. And
what's the program?
Babbel.
I've heard of Babbel.
The app called Babbel, and I bit the Babbel bullet and paid for the subscription, and I'm loving it because it's teaching me grammar, and I've never been able to grasp the Spanish grammar because I've never been taught it. So, you know, this has been very, very helpful for me. You look at that sentence there in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given you or given to you. The subject of the sentence is you. It's just in English, we don't say you. But in essence, Jesus is saying, you ask. And it is not a statement. It's not, you know, him stating what happens. He's telling us what to do. And I think a lot of times, and of course, this is a verse that everybody knows. If you have ever sung verse 2 to Seek Ye First, this is a verse you know. And, you know, because we generally sing those three verses.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite songs.
The kingdom of God, ask and it shall be given to you. And then oftentimes we'll sing, man shall not live by bread alone.
Such a beautiful song.
It's a good song. But, you know, we sing that second verse. And so we all know the words to that song. And actually, I didn't intend to get to talking about the song, but.
Right.
You know, we look there at that first verse, which comes from the preceding chapter, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And Jesus says, seek ye first, actually says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, first of all, why is he saying but? Why does he begin the sentence with the word but?
That's Keith's favorite three-letter conjunction right there.
It is.
He loves it.
Favorite three-letter word in the English language, or in the Bible anyway, because it's a conjunction of contrast.
Yeah.
And so he's tying together what he said, what he said with what he
previously
is saying.
Previously to what he's saying. Yeah.
Yeah. We were watching some TV last night, and, you know, cause we pseudo binge watch.
Pseudo binge watch?
Well, I mean, you know, we'll,
you either binge watch or you don't binge watch. I'm a binger.
I define binge watching as, you know, you're going to sit down and watch five or more episodes all at once. You know,
five episodes? Really?
We'll watch. Oh, what's your?
Am I weird? Because, like, okay, Blacklist, for example. I've been really big into the Blacklist lately. It's on Netflix. I don't know why. Yeah. But anyway, I sat down one day and I watched the entire second season, all 24 episodes of it. Is that bad? Is that not good?
I'm not even going to comment. I can say to that. Nothing whatsoever that I can say about
good
that.
Show, though.
I can't do that. I couldn't sit down and watch an entire season all at once. I couldn't be still that long. I've got too much else that has to be done. And I just couldn't do it. So if I ever sit and watch five episodes of something, for me, that's binge watching.
Right.
But, you know, we were pseudo binge watching last night. We watched like two or three episodes of a show, you know, trying to get caught up to where they're at, because we're like a season behind. But anyway, you know, you've got that previously on. You know, in between as they begin the episodes, because they're tying what happened in the previous episode with what's getting ready to happen in that episode. That's what Jesus is doing. Previously, here in Matthew chapter 6, what was he talking about? Well, he was talking about the necessities of life. He was talking about those things we have to have in order to live. Not the things that we want to have, the things we have to have.
Necessities.
He's talking about food. He's talking about shelter.
Right.
Those are the things
he
is talking about. He's not talking about a fancy house. He's not talking about a fancy car. He's not even talking about cars. But, you know, those things that, you know, and, you know, I got to thinking about this morning, just how much these smartphones have become necessities to us. For some reason, we have gotten to the point where we think, I have to have it.
They've gone from novelties to necessities. Like, everybody has to have a cell phone. If you don't have a cell phone,
people
can't get a hold of you.
Not just a cell phone, a smartphone.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it's not a necessity.
And I'll tell you what I was thinking of this morning, and I find it so good that this is the topic that you wanted to talk about today. Ask. This morning I was doing my observations at a local school at a local middle school and asked, but he would kind of raise his hand and then he put it down and he raised his hand and put it down. And it got me thinking about how much we struggle with asking questions. You know, we love to do all these other things. We'll tell people, we'll do all these other things, but we struggle with asking for help. We struggle with asking for things. And I think that translates into our prayer life as well. We struggle with saying, God, I'm asking you to do this for me, or I'm asking you to help me do this. And we struggle with that. We struggle with asking people for help. We struggle with asking God for help. And that's what came to my mind when you told me about this topic today.
Well, and getting back to Matthew 6:33 and really the point that I wanted to make, I'm just really, really slow getting there. At the end of the verse, you know, we read, ask and it shall be given you. I'm in Matthew 7:7. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we sing that song and we quote that verse, and I don't think that we give full attention to what things are going to be added to us. And so we jump over to Matthew 7:7, or verse 2 of the song, if that's how you're thinking, and we read, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And I'm quoting from the King James there, the New King James says will, but the point that I wanted to make is that that's an imperative statement. It is, you know, sometimes we want to put qualifiers on the word will, and we want to say, you know, it's like, and going back to the swap shop example here, you know, Herman comes to.
Was that an example?
It is now. You know, Herman's like, Zach, will you sell this side by side for me?
Certainly.
Sure. Well, yeah. What happens if you are struggling and you posted it on 5 different Facebook groups and you're getting notifications from all of them that are driving you insane? And
which is what happens, exactly what is happening.
And you haven't gotten a single nibble on the side by side.
Which I haven't. You explained my situation to the T just now.
And you know, which is the whole reason that we mentioned it at the beginning of the program. But you know, because if you had prospective buyers lined up, you wouldn't. Okay, but here's the thing about it. You said, I will sell that for you. Well, what happens if you don't sell it?
Then I lied. Because I told him I would and I didn't.
But it's understood, and Herman's an understanding guy. I love Herman.
Right.
You know, if you go back to Herman in, but I wouldn't do it this week. I you know, you're going to have to. Have you called Swap Shop yet? I mean, just saying.
I'm not putting it on Swap Shop. It's not happening. I'll say, I've got a side by side for sale. Goodbye. I'll leave a phone number, nothing. Just like, I got a side by side for sale. Goodbye. Anyway.
So, yeah, because you get so nervous on the radio. But
yeah.
Anyway, so the point I was going to make is, you know, if at some point in the future you go back to Herman and you say, Herman, I tried to sell it, but I couldn't. Herman's going to say, well, Zach, that's okay. You know, you tried, you know, you said you would do it. You said I will do it, but, you know, you weren't able to. That's okay. Okay. As we come to Matthew 7:7, that is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you.
He isn't saying maybe or possibly.
No,
he is saying,
not saying
it
maybe.
Will.
It's going to happen.
It's a definite.
And so we are put in the position, number one, of, you know, we've got to keep things in context, okay?
Right.
Because, you know, I remember, and I love using this example. I don't know why, but, you know, I was young. I don't know how old I was. I was not very big at all, but you know, I had a bunch of Tonka toys, and but I didn't have the excavator. I had the crane,
but didn't have
that had the big, but I didn't have the excavator. And I can remember, and like I said, I was young, very, very young. I prayed and prayed and prayed that I would get that excavator for Christmas.
Little Keith praying for an excavator.
Did I get the excavator for Christmas? No, I did not. What was the problem there? Number one, I was praying for the wrong thing. Number two, for a Tonka excavator, I was praying to the wrong person.
Great example, Keith.
Because, well, I can remember going to mom and dad and going, man, I really wanted that Tonka excavator. And they're like, we never knew.
Right. You didn't tell the right person.
No, didn't tell the right person.
You told God, you didn't tell mom and dad.
So, yeah, and at that early age, I couldn't understand why God didn't tell mom and dad. But right. Hopefully now, you know, a little older. Okay, I was waiting for you to interject and say a lot older, but
I'm being nice today. A whole lot older.
A little more understanding. And we come, but here's the thing about it. A lot of times we come to Matthew 7:7 and we read Jesus saying, ask and it will be given to you. And we're thinking, Tonka toys.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is a verse that it's prosperity gospel. We hear that from time to time. Aaron got on here and he talked about it a couple of weeks ago. And prosperity gospel is basically this principle, and they base a lot of their stuff off of this. You know, you ask for it, you're going to get it. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's money, if you ask to win the lottery on a lottery ticket, they will teach you. You send me $500 and you're going to win the lottery. That's how that's going to happen. And that's just not factual, and that's not biblical at all. And
it's not biblical.
And we do need to be aware. We need to be very, very present about the things that we do ask for. We need to ask for the things that we need, the necessities in this life. We need to ask for God to help us use those necessities, but we don't need to ask for our wants.
The point that I wanted to get back to is that here in Matthew 7:7, we still have the same context that Jesus was discussing in Matthew 6:33, where he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. And then there's a little six verse parenthetical there. But then we come back to verse 7 and he's saying the same thing. Ask and it will be given to you. Now, Here's the thing about the word ask. It's a command.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a suggestion. It's a command.
No, it's not a suggestion. It's not, you know, why don't you assume that God knows what you need?
Right.
That's not it. That's not it at all. Mm-hmm. God wants us to ask.
And there was a point I made in last week's sermon. The question was, why do bad things happen to good people? And the point that I made was, we shouldn't be asking why these bad things are happening in our lives or to the lives of our loved ones. We should be asking how we can turn those things into something that is beneficial in our lives and something that uplifts God's kingdom. And it's all about asking the right question. You got to ask the right question and you got to ask for the right things. And that is exactly what he is saying in this verse. I mean, to a T, and that's exactly what you're saying too.
Well, you know, we get in those mindsets though, that are all around us in the world, and they do permeate our lives as Christians sometimes. And that, you know, it, why do we ask why? Because everybody else is asking why.
Right.
And there are times we do need to ask why.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not here's the thing, especially when it comes to that topic that you talked about this past Sunday. You know, we look at that question of why do, and we don't ask it in generalities. We ask it about specifics when they happen to us. Why has this happened to me? And then we begin to try to rationalize what could have possibly caused that bad thing to have happened. And the bottom line is that God says, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And, by the way, I just got the email notification, GBN Live, this tomorrow night, why do people suffer?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if you're going to listen to this before GBN Live. If you do, then, you know, I would encourage you to tune into that. But so anyway, that really wasn't the topic at hand. And I was about to get majorly sidetracked there. So ask. Seek, knock. Those are the three things that Jesus tells us to do in that verse. Ask, seek, knock. And right. he responds with the imperative that, yes, if you ask, it will be given. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be opened. but it has to be kept in its context. And so we go on in this passage here in Matthew chapter 7, and he says in beginning in verse 9, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? By the way,
layman's terms.
Not based upon Matthew 7 and verse 9, but I got something else that's coming out here soon that Matthew 7:9 reminded me of. Not ready to talk about it just yet. Give me another week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep the suspense there. Just keep it there. The suspense is killing me, Keith.
I got something else that's planning on rolling out that we can use with Let's Talk About Christianity. But Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
Oh, it's coming. Okay.
And it has to do with bread.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I like bread.
Anyway,
good.
Anyway, bread is good.
Good on a sandwich.
Okay, so Jesus asks a rhetorical question here, and he basically says, hey, if you are hungry and you go to your dad and say, Dad, I'm hungry. Is your dad going to give you a rock and say, here, go gnaw on this for a while? You know, maybe it will. You know, I have heard stories, though, of people who were like in the desert, you know, lost with no water, and they were able to take a small pebble and, you know, like a river stone, not a sharp, jagged rock, but a small, smooth rock. And it would like stimulate the saliva, you know, just having it in their mouth. But anyway, I don't know where that came from. A good dad's not going to give his kid a rock and tell him to go eat it.
Right. And you go to the next verse, you ask for a fish, you get a serpent. A good dad's not going to give you a serpent when you ask for a fish either. I've heard of people who eat snakes, like rattlesnakes and stuff.
Heard of that. I've never done it.
They say, you know what they say it tastes like? Chicken.
Well, that's what they say. Everything.
It tastes like chicken. Yeah. Everything tastes like chicken.
We went to a fish place on Friday night, and they had frog legs at this fish place. And, you know, it's like, yeah, tastes like chicken. But
tastes like chicken.
And I want to give a shout out also to Mark and Rhonda. They are down in Florida right now, and they sent me a picture yesterday or day before of a 10-foot alligator that was swimming in the canal, you know, behind the house where they're staying. And, you know, yeah, I've had alligator. It tastes like chicken.
Everything tastes like chicken.
Everything tastes like chicken. Emma, when she was young, she called all meat chicken, and
kids know it. They kids are wise.
Yeah, it's like you know, what are we having for supper? And I would just say chicken. You know, yeah. It didn't matter if it was beef or deer or, you know, whatever. It's chicken.
It tastes like
and
chicken.
She to this day, I'm pretty sure she would still call it deer chicken.
Deer chicken.
But deer chicken. Okay. Even though deer meat does not taste like chicken, at least to me. What was the point of all this? I know we were talking about. So, if he asks for a fish, he'll give him a serpent. Yeah. So anyway, the point of what Jesus was saying there in verse 11, if you are, you know, even if you are not as righteous as God, and you're not.
Right.
If you, being as you are, know not to give bad things to your kids, which, by the way, there are some parents who need to learn a few things, but that's not the point of today's episode.
What's wrong with Happy Meals 2 days a week and a big, large Coke, Keith?
That wasn't what I was talking about. Oh. But, you know, if we can expect good things from our earthly parents,
right?
Do we really look at God as our Father? And that's a whole nother discussion that we could get into. Maybe we need to do an entire episode on God as our Father. I don't know. Let's hold that thought.
We've got like 3 episodes lined up that we want to do for certain. So,
yeah. Well. But, you know, why would we expect to ask of our Heavenly Father and Him give us something bad? Why would we expect that He would not listen to us at all? Now, I know. Now, see, I'm getting into the topic that I wasn't going to try to go into, but you know,
what was that topic?
Talking about God. God is our Father. Mm-hmm. We as parents, sometimes we will be sort of preoccupied and, you know, our kids will come to us and they'll ask us for something that we're sitting there and we're thinking, you know what, in the grand scheme of things, this is not all that important. It doesn't have to be dealt with right now at this point in time. And they get frustrated with us. And I think sometimes that's necessary because our children need to know and understand that we're not going to jump up and, you know,
at every single request and do be their weight on them hand and foot. Yeah,
yeah.
I get what you're saying.
But at the same time,
they need to know too that you are there for them.
Yes. And I think sometimes we forget that our God is a good Father.
Right. And I think it's an important to note that, you know, it is important about what we ask, you know, what kind of things that we ask for, you know, and different things like that through prayer. But I think it's also important about how we ask. And by saying that, I mean, I think it's important that when we ask God through prayer for different things, whether they're blessings or whatever they may be, I think it's important that we realize that as children of God, He is going to answer that prayer. And I think if we pray that prayer knowing that He will answer that prayer, then we are praying in a sincere way. But if we pray that prayer and we don't think in our minds that God can actually answer this prayer or that God is actually going to answer this prayer, I think that we're praying in an insincere way. And I don't know what your thoughts about that are, but I think it's important about how we pray when we pray.
James sums it up in James 1 and verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing doubting or with no
right,
doubting.
Not doubting. Mm-hmm.
For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And of course, you know, we're both a long way from the sea.
We are. I got a lake next to me.
Now I have been normally Paintsville Lake is like glass.
Right.
But we were out kayaking on the lake one day and got caught in a thunderstorm and were trying to paddle back to the, I mean, there were, you know, 2 foot waves out there in that wind. Oh yeah. It was bad, for Paintsville Lake. And, fortunately we just made it back to the boat ramp, got the canoes out, and I had just got them, up on the roof of the van, and I think Stacy had already climbed into the van, and lightning struck just right across, you know. Wow. Fortunately, that didn't happen while we were out on the water. But, you know, we have this analogy that James presents to us there of a wave of the sea that is tossed about, and you know, it's not fun being caught in those waves.
Mm-mm.
Not by any stretch of the imagination, and especially on a small body of water like that, when there isn't really any separation between the waves, and you know, and they're coming from different directions because of the wind, and you know, it's just, you know, you just. It's a mess.
And you're not, I think what he meant, I meant a lot of things, but I think one of the things that he meant was you're not stable. You're not stable in your faith, in your prayers, if you're asking God for things that you doubt that he can give you. If you're praying for things that you don't think God can give you, then you're doubting your prayers. But it also goes back to what we're praying for. I mean, if you pray for outrageous things in your prayer life, then
Tonka toys.
If you pray for an excavator, a Tonka excavator, you're probably not going to get it. But
I never did get one.
I'll send you one, Keith, through the mail.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't think they make them like that anymore.
They use all that plastic junk is what they use.
Yeah.
They don't use metal anymore.
No. But I wanted the metal one.
Right.
So asking in faith, nothing wavering, and with what Jesus has told us here in Matthew 7 and verses 7 through 11, number one, Jesus says, ask. But he says, you should ask expecting to receive. Now, as we talked about, we've got to be asking for the right things. You know, this is not one of those, although some take it as such, and it goes back to that prosperity gospel, such as you were describing. They look at this passage and they're like,
more and more peddled in our society.
It is. But the context of what is being discussed clearly indicates that God's going to take care of us. It may not be with riches and wealth, but God will take care of us, and that's what we had better be asking for.
Right.
And, you know, it's just a very, very beautiful assurance to us as Christians that he gives to us.
And I think one of the things that people misunderstand is they do think that as a Christian, you know, you're going to get every single thing that you ask for in prayer. You're going to get all the wealth that you want, I really do believe that God only gives us our necessities, the things that we absolutely need in this life to survive, the things that we need to uplift, upbuild his kingdom, and things of that sort. And you have to be wary of what you ask for and how, in the manner in which you ask. And those are two very, very important points that you can't be more sure of. You have to be certain. And I don't know, what's a time check? Where are we on time right now?
We've got about 6 minutes.
Okay. I figured we were close.
Where we're at.
I didn't know.
Yeah, about 6 minutes. So also with Matthew 7:7, I think we see the directive by Jesus to be specific in our prayers and those things that we are asking for.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of times, and I understand that in our public worship services and things that, sometimes the prayers are
very broad.
Very broad. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. They're more general. Right. But there's a time and a place to be specific. And you know what? If it makes brother or sister so-and-so squirm a little bit because that prayer goes on a little longer than they're used to, I don't know. You ever see anybody like timing a prayer?
I've seen people who pray time their prayers. I've seen them look down at their watch and time them before.
Maybe mentally, sometimes people are sitting there going, man, this prayer's going on and on. It's time to go. But God wants us to be specific in our prayers.
I feel like we need to be. We have to be specific in our prayers because, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, thank you, God, for giving me all these talents and abilities. But what talents and abilities did he give you that you're thankful for? And, you know, help me use these talents and abilities to uplift your kingdom. What talents and abilities do you want to use to uplift his kingdom? And you got to get specific with things. You have to get specific and let him know, you know, what you're praying for, because the more specific that you are, the better understanding that he's going to have.
I don't know. I keep waving my hand because the light changes as a top of my screen getting darker and lighter as I got distracted there. Okay, so here's the thing about it. You have specific needs.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has specific needs.
God knows you have specific.
Why would we pray in generalizations?
Right. God knows. He knows you have specific needs. So why wouldn't you pray?
Why would you not address those specific needs that you have to your heavenly Father? It's like, of course, all parents are different. You know,
Where are you going with this?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, if you needed something particularly, and I'll just use this example. We're through with Christmas now for this year. About the 1st of November or whatever, you know, if your mom comes to you, Zach, and says, Zach, what do you want for Christmas this year? You know, and you're like, well, Mom, I'm a college student. I need some new clothes. Yeah. It's very broad.
Kind of clothes do you need?
It's very, very, very
shirts,
broad.
Pants, shoes,
and
socks.
Yeah. And so, you know, you begin opening up your Christmas packages, and lo and behold, you've got 15 new pairs of underwear.
Yeah. You asked for clothes.
You asked for clothes. You know,
didn't say whether those were outer clothes or under clothes. You never said. So you got them.
That's right. I'm not saying that God is that way, but you know, if you're not willing to be specific, I will say this: you better not be ready to complain when what you need isn't exactly met.
I'll tell you one thing that I did that was refreshing this year, Keith. For Christmas this year, I did not ask for anything. I said, "You get me what you want to get me." Because in the past, I'll give her a list. I'll give my mom a list. I'll give Miranda a list. And people
well,
ask me what I want.
You're an only child, too.
Yeah,
so.
And I'll give my grandparents and be like, well, what do you want? And I know that whatever I say, I'm probably going to get. So when I open my gifts, it's like, you already know what you got. Because right. That's what you asked for.
Well, so you wanted to be surprised this year.
This year, I wanted to be surprised. And so I just said, you get me whatever you think that I need. And so I was opening these gifts. I didn't have a clue what they were. I had the biggest smile on my face, and I was just so happy because I did not know, and they were such a surprise. And I was so happy about it.
So they did well.
They did well. They did well. Good. So our two-minute recap. Give your recap, Keith.
My recap, ask.
One word. That's impressive.
I'm done. Yeah, that was my recap.
My recap is this. don't be afraid to ask questions. You got to ask questions, and don't be afraid to ask for things. Don't be afraid to ask for the necessities in your life. Mine was a lot longer than yours, but you took mine. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, we basically had the same recap, but yours just took four times as long.
Got a couple episodes longer. So.
Again, we want to thank you for listening to our program. And we, as Zach said a few moments ago, we've got some good episodes lined up in the coming weeks. And we are, we're excited about where the program is going. We're pleased with the way things are going.
Oh, I'm pleased.
So
I'm busy, but I'm pleased.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be any good if you weren't busy. So. Thank you for listening. Go to the website, letstalkaboutchristianity.com, Facebook page, facebook.com/letstalkaboutchristianity. You can send us a message there on Facebook Messenger. Email us at keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Notice he said email us, plural.
Yeah. we wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. So thank you. And
we appreciate the feedback too.
Yes, we do. We always appreciate the feedback. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.